we're doing Chazonish, we'll dedicate our learning tonight to Moshe ben Yaakov, Zichrono Livracha, and to the speedy recovery of Ruth Bat Sarah. Ruth Bat Sarah, Hashem should send her a refuah shlema swiftly. We're doing the Chazonish, we're on page Chaftet, we're paragraph 18 of the third chapter. The Chazonish had been discussing Emunah, being the recognition that Hashem runs the world, Bitachon, holding on to that recognition, even in the face of adversity, in the face of dire circumstance, where things seem to be up in the air, and I hold on to that recognition that even though things seem to be very dangerous and precarious, and it seems like what I do is what's going to define the outcome, I still hold on to the recognition Hashem is still running the show. Emunah, and then Bitachon is holding on to the Emunah in face of danger. And then the Chazon Ish said the application of Emunah and Bitachon relevant to our own lives is where how we deal in our own lives, that we take the system of Halakha, and that is the system with which we deal in all our dealings. Emunah and Bitachon are not only in the abstract, they're also as an applied science in our day-to-day dealings. And the Chazon Ish continues, and I find it incumbent to expand about this topic of the responsibility to learn halacha, to understand the laws, because there are so few students. You know, when in the Chazon Ish's time, when they went to Ben-Gurion and they asked him if he's willing to delay the draft for the yeshiva students, you know what Ben-Gurion said? There are so few in number, it's only a matter of a few years and they'll be extinct. There's nothing. When the Chazon Ish permitted the draft law to let the yeshiva students delay their draft, that when Ben-Gurion permitted it, he said, there's no reason not to. They're almost extinct. It's only a matter of time. They're going to be gone. He didn't imagine we'd have tens of thousands of people studying in yeshivas. We have this beautiful renaissance going on. So the Chazon Ish writes, he says, why do I have to talk about it? Because there aren't that many students. There's almost nothing left. They asked Rav Soloveitchik's students, why didn't you take notes? Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik was teaching in the time of the Holocaust. And he was teaching and teaching, and his students didn't write down. And they asked him, why? You had decades of learning after the Holocaust. Why didn't you take notes? And they said, after we saw the destruction in Europe, we didn't think there'd be a next generation. We didn't see a point in taking notes. We didn't see who we teach Torah to. There was no one. We didn't think there'd be anything left. Rabbi Zev Wein, Zechat Tzadik Livracha, was one of the group of students who were assigned to memorize whole tractates of Shas because they believed that there would be no copy left of the Shas. So they divided among the yeshiva students. Each one was responsible to memorize another tractate so that if there would be no copies left in the world, they could write it down word by word. So Rabbi Zev Wein, I think, was tractate Yevamos, one of the big tractates. That was his job, to memorize the whole tractate, so he could write it down. Some would memorize it with Rashi, with Tosfos, each one depending on their intellectual acumen. But that's where the world thought they were holding. Who imagined we'd have these bookcases full of books? So the Chazon Ish says, I have to talk about this at length, because there are hardly any students. People are attracted to all kinds of other things, but there are so few people who actually come learn Torah. So I invest my love and compassion to these few students, so we shouldn't lose any of them. But life is such that there are natural hardships to acquire Torah. It's difficult. It's naturally difficult. And then you have all kinds of temptations. So I know, says the Chazon Ish, that we lose people all the time from the Beis Medrash. People who have tremendous potential. And day by day, we see the numbers dwindling. Now, if you lose students, so then people are obviously not being diligent in learning halacha clearly, accurately, diligently. People rather spend their times on all kinds of philosophies. People are thinking of all kinds of nice, ethical, moral ideas, but they're not spending their time understanding what does the Torah actually say. לחדש חידושים אין בהם ממה שנאמר למשה מסיני. People are willing to come up with great new ideas that have nothing to do with the Torah that was given at Sinai. אף שהן שיחות שירת שמיים ותיקון מידות. Even though people are saying words that stem from their being God-fearing people. They want to express their fear of God. They want to express their aspiration to fix themselves. But they're not learning the Torah. They're trying to express themselves. We got to hear what the Torah is saying. People will sometimes look at halacha from a distance. They don't know the details of halacha, but they want to explain the ethics of halacha. You know, Rabbi Lau was invited to a panel of doctors. Over 100 doctors were present, and they wanted to discuss with him brain death and medical ethics in halacha. So they invited, he was chief rabbi, and they invited him for this symposium, and they wanted to have a to and fro with him about the halacha and what the halacha stance should be on medical ethics. So they were going to have a discussion with him. They weren't coming to listen to him, they were coming to discuss with him. So when he got up to speak, he said, "Gentlemen, I want to ask you one question. Who can tell me what's written in a mezuzah?" Silence. The whole room is silent. After about a minute, one doctor raises his hand and he ventures a guess. He says, "Tfilat Aderech." They didn't know. They didn't know the parasha of Shema and Vehayom Shema. So what he was trying to illustrate to them is that they don't know the most basic thing, what's written in a mezuzah, but they want to deal with the most complex thing, the question of medical ethics and halacha. We have opinions. We have our own opinions. But if we want the Torah's opinion, we have to listen. We can't have this external opinion. This is what the halacha means to teach us. How do you know? Let's see what the halacha says. אבל אינן מספיקות את התכלית המבוקש מאדם עלי חלד. But these external thoughts, they don't suffice to give us the tools, the understanding, the approach to fulfill our obligation in this world, to realize our potential. כל שאינן מתלווין עם ידיעת התורה הדינית וכמו שנתבר לאל. If you're giving thoughts, nice thoughts from the Torah, but it's not accompanied with an understanding of the real halacha and the laws, so then that has nothing to do with Torah. והנה אותן שמעמידים חוכמתן על שיחות מוסריות. You have people who seem very wise because they give speeches and ethics. והגיונות חיצונות בהלכה, and they give all kinds of external understandings in הלכה. נכשלים להאמין כי זהו חובתו של אדם בעולמו. So then they have a hard time realizing that our obligation is to know all of the הלכה. והנהם כי כן התנהגו התנים והמורים. And they think that this is what the Talmud is filled with. Whoever doesn't learn Talmud thinks they know what the Talmud has to say. If you don't learn Talmud, then it seems like a bunch of great ideas. It's only when you start learning that you understand the details, and you understand there's a tremendous science going on here. Science. There's a system, and it's a genius system, and it is a phenomenal system, and it is an intriguing system, and it is a thought-evoking system. If you really analyze what's going on, most people, their whole lives, will never see 95% of the Talmud. There are a few lines of Talmud that people know and talk about. So I heard there was a rabbi who killed 80 witches in Ashkelon. Great. Everyone knows that story. But what do you know about that story? I heard they killed his son, that the relatives got back at him and killed his son. His name was Shimon ben Shatach. What else do you know about that story? That's about it. What do we know of Talmud? How many people know anything from Tractate Horios? What does Horios talk about? Krisus? What does that talk about? Erechim? Tmura? Do you know there's a tractate called Masechet Geirim? A tractate called Masechet Tzitzit? A tractate called Masechet Smachot? Most people don't even know they exist. You ask the average person, tell me one line in Tractate Erevin. People don't know, or they don't realize that they know. The whole concept of Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chaim is in Tractate Erevin. So we know that line in Talmud, but do we really know that line in Talmud? So there's a whole world out there, and I'm telling you, it's intriguing. I invite each of you to try for 2 months to do Daf Yomi. Go to an English Daf Yomi site and try. You'll suddenly see there's a whole world out there. If it's a good cheer in Daf Yomi, there's a whole world, Tractate Nidarim, Daf Yomi is learning now. There's so much insight in Nidarim. I'll give you an example. You accepted Shabbos early, right? We accepted Shabbos early. We know you could accept Shabbos early from Plaga Mincha onward. So let's say sunset now is 7:45 and you want to make Shabbos from 7 o'clock. Okay? You accept Shabbos at 7 o'clock. And then your mother comes on the voicemail and she says, "Honey, I'd really appreciate it if you could call me back. There's a question I wanted to ask you. Can you take it back once you accept the Shabbos upon yourself?" So there is such a thing as atarat nedarim. Did you know that accepting Shabbos early has its strength from the concept of nedarim? You can undo it. It's complicated, but you can. True story. A family was making challah in honor of their daughter's bas mitzvah. They took off the challah. So we have holy bread here, right? We took off a piece of dough. Good. Beautiful. Comes the bat mitzvah, and everyone's sitting down to eat, and suddenly the mother says, "Where's that piece of dough? We were supposed to burn it." So they look around, and they can't find it. And then one of the kids says, "I think, by mistake, I put it back on the tray, and it's one of the challahs that were served to the guests. So that's prohibited to eat. What do you do now?" So if you learn tractate Nedarim, and you learn the commentary of the Ran on Nedarim, you start understanding that even the concept of giving something the name of challah stems from the concept of a neder. And just like you can undo a neder, you can undo the name of truma and challah that you've given a food item. But if you look at it and you don't know what's behind it, so it is a nice concept of challah, and we could give a nice speech about challah, but do we really understand what it means to give the name of challah on something? Do we really understand what it means to say truma, meiser? The more we learn, the more we see, hey, there's a much broader system, and within that system I can understand what's going on. Yeah, but that involves learning the details of the halacha. So Chazanish says, most people never get there. And if they don't get there, they think they understand what's going on in Torah, but it has nothing to do with Torah. And people think learning real halacha, yeah, you learn 2 minutes of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And it's very hard to uproot this error because people are so convinced that they know what learning halacha is all about. Yeah, I got it. But he says, I can't ignore it. This is an outright lie. I told you guys this line from the Chazon Ish, that when my son told me, "Hey, Abba, they asked you to speak so often," I didn't view it as a compliment. Because the Chazon Ish says over here, when do they ask someone to give speeches? Not when he knows Torah, when he says nice stories. When he could speak and draw your heart, when he's a good orator, it has nothing to do with his knowledge of halacha. It has to do with whether you find his speeches enthralling. That doesn't mean he knows halacha. He could tell a good story. So here we'll pick up his achim next time, because we still got to do some Tanakh. So the Chazon Ish says, yeah, people think that's Torah, because you can. He's a good speaker. That's not Torah. It's a component in Torah, knowing how to speak. The main part of Torah is knowing what the Torah says, knowing the details. And that's the application, the applied science of our emunah and bitachon.